Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello and welcome to the Virtue Cafe. I'm your host, Shagilola Salami. Who have I got here?
Jonathan.
Oh, hi, Jonathan.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks. Yourself?
Good.
Okay, what would you like to have? What would you like to drink?
How about some orange juice?
Orange juice? Okay. What would you like to have with your orange juice?
Little eggs and some sausage and hash browns.
Ah, see, for a second there, I was going to think you were quite easy, because most of the time I get lots of Americans come on the show, and then they always have these fancy things. It was like, one said, you know, she wanted the Reuben sandwich, or like, what the heck is a Reuben sandwich? And then someone said she wanted the beer claw, and are you?
Well, it's early in the morning here, so it's breakfast time. So.
Ah, right. So you don't want any of the fancy things that all the other guests seem to come and always want. Okay, no, that's easy enough. The little human, she's having a nap now. It's the new year, so she's having a nap now. So you'll just have to wait, because she knows where everything is, and I just normally take the orders and she gets everything ready. So, you know, and she's been having, you know, let me see, what's the right word to say? She's been having a temporary strike. She's like, since she turned two, she says, you know what, I should stop using her for child labor, that she's not going to be doing all the orders anymore. Right? So normally I would take the orders and I will say to the little human, go and get them ready. But she's just like, yeah, that's not going to happen. And that's why she's sleeping on duty now. Can you imagine? How do you get good stuff these days? And I'm trying to, you know, start her off early so she knows the importance of hard work, right? That, you know, money doesn't fall down from a tree somewhere. You've got to work for it. But anywho's, right, so you'll have to wait for a bit. Right, I can hear someone else in the background. Who have I got here today?
This is Alicia Robinson, better known as A.R. Robinson.
Hi, Alicia.
Love a mimosa. I hope you guys have some champagne, because I need alcohol. It's early in the morning. I need to get going.
You know, I would go to jail if I let the little human touch alcohol.
Well, you need to be the example and pour it for me. Girl, I need some alcohol.
Well, this is the UK. This is a child-friendly cafe. Okay. We are not licensed to have any alcohol. Thank you very much.
I don't want to. Oh, you guys don't serve alcohol in the cafe?
No, we don't. Thank you.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, learned something new today.
Well, in America, do you guys sell alcohol in your cafes?
It depends on where. I used to live in Nashville, and there was this awesome, awesome coffee shop called Frothy Monkey, and they have a full bar, and you can get mimosas at 7 o'clock in the morning when they open. It was fabulous.
Really?
It was absolutely fabulous. Yes, yes, Frothy Monkey.
Interesting. See, no, we don't do stuff like that here. A cafe is a cafe. A cafe is a child-friendly place and no alcohol whatsoever. Thank you very much. And you see what I say about my lovely Americans? There's always something new I learn every day, right?
In that case, I'll just take a cup of coffee with some sweet potato pancakes, bacon, and eggs over medium, please. Tell me you have sweet potato pancakes.
Yes, so see, now, wait, Alicia, right? So I'm all up, right? I love pancakes, right? And, you know, I've got my specialties. Yesterday, I made nectarine pancakes, right? It was absolutely delicious.
Sounds good, yeah.
That's good.
Excellent, actually. I'll try those, something different.
Yes, but I've never heard of sweet potato pancakes.
Yeah, sweet potato pancakes, again, Nashville, Tennessee, they're legendary. They're so good.
Okay,
sweet potato pancake, you will not want to go back to regular like buttermilk pancakes.
Yeah, but if you taste my nectarine pancakes, you would not even want that. It's like, oh my good Lord, seriously, it is very lush, right? Like the little human, she wakes up, even when I'm saying she wakes up, in her drink the other day, right? She was sleeping and she was laughing, and then she goes in her sleep, pancakes. Mommy's pancakes. I swear to God, right? In her dream, she goes, "Mommy's pancakes," and I'm like, "Okay."
I've never even heard of Mexican pancakes. I want to try that now. Seriously, yesterday I had pumpkin pancakes. I went to a cafe and had pumpkin pancakes. So now I've never heard of nectarine pancakes. I want to try those.
Yes. See, I try to use fresh fruits in my pancakes. So whatever I have, I just sort of grate it, and the sugars in the fruit, you know, it's sort of the heat just brings it all out, and it just gives it that zing 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 zing. It just takes it that whole new level. And because I'm not a good fan of eating, you see my voice is coming down a little bit low, because I'm trying not to let people hear what I'm about to say. But I don't really like eating fruits so much, so I try to make myself not feel bad by putting the fruits in the pancake, and it's fresh fruits.
Oh.
You see, but nobody had that though. Nobody had that.
Why are you telling everybody in the house they have to eat fruit? Then you have to pretend like you like it.
Well, there's a 2-year-old, so you have to be an embodiment of all things. What's the word? You've got to be a role model. Yes, you've got to
right.
Show her the right ways, you know. And then when she's picking out her sweet corn from her noodles, and she's going yucky. Just goes, no, it's yummy. She can't pick up bad habits from somebody.
Right. Well, not me, not you anyway.
Exactly. You know, she's going, yucky. I'm like, no, it's yummy. You see? That's how it is. But yes, we will get you nectars. I know you ordered some funky thing, but I've totally forgotten what you did now. So you wanted black coffee, yes?
Okay, do you have like sweetened creamer, like hazelnut or like amaretto?
Seriously, I think I need to go to a cafe in America and just learn everything that you guys have.
Yes, you do.
Seriously, I need to come to a cafe in America right now, because you guys are just putting me to shame every single time. Every single time, these Americans are just putting me to shame all the time, right?
Whoa, so, this is the variety.
I will give you, now, I got me a nice mug, tankard. Extra large. Let's go. It's got a capacity. I actually measured it. It can take 550 mils of hot chocolate. So I'll get you that, and I'm going to make nice coffee, black coffee. Do you like black coffee, or do you like it with milk?
Yes, milk and sugar, please.
How many sugar?
Is it the raw sugar, or is it like the regular sugar?
Is there raw sugar? I don't know. Granulated sugar.
Okay, so I'll just take like 2 teaspoons.
Okay, perfect. Right, so we've got you sorted now. So,
this is really how I am. I go to a cafe.
Okay. Right, so nice big tankard, 500, almost 600 mils of coffee with cream and 2 sugars. And I've totally forgotten now. He's been so quiet. Jonathan, what was your order again? I know you said something about English breakfast and stuff, but what was your drink?
Mine's pretty simple. It's just orange juice and some hash browns and sausage and eggs.
Yeah. That sounds good too, actually.
That's good. That's like a very manly breakfast filled with loads of protein.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yes. Okay. So, right. It's probably going to take a bit of time, right? So, you guys didn't even tell me anything about you.
Well, my name is Alicia Robinson. I'm born and raised in Chicago, Illinois. I live in the South now in Dallas, Texas. I wrote a book series called Love, God, and Tattoos. It's a very edgy, urban type rated R series about a girl named Alcatraz. She's an orphan and a tattoo artist, but she's trying to have a relationship with God in this very dark, depressing, neurotic world. Mm-hmm. There are 8 books in the series, five novels, 2 novellas, and 1 devotional. This year, I'm going to create like a 1-year Bible to kind of go with it, with the New Testament and the Proverbs, just for new believers to get that. And so, yeah, that's kind of what I do my free time. I love yoga, all about the yoga, and I love traveling. Like, I want to come to London. I want to come to London so bad. I've never been to London. I have to get to London. So when I get there, I'm calling you. I'm serious. I'm very serious about that.
No, please, because I actually feel very proud of myself. I'm not proud, but I feel good, because one of the guests who I've God, and they, she loves me very much, or they love me very much. Well, I'm thinking they love me very much because they like coming on the show, right? And they were coming to London last year, right? And then they sent an email to me and they go, Shekelele, we're in London and we're going to have to come and see you. And I was like, oh my God, that would be so lovely. You know, like, it was just making me feel all jittery. It was like, oh, someone loves me so much. And they're coming from America and they're like, yes, we've got to come and meet you, you know? And I was like, oh, bless. So yes, you know, if you do, please do, you know, give me a big head. I think the rick, my head is going to get big soon. He's not going to go through my door, but yeah.
Okay, right. An email from me too this year, because that's on my, I want to go to London and Singapore and Costa Rica. So London is definitely on the list this year. So expect that email. I will be coming to London. I'm so excited!
And my head is just getting bigger. It's like, you've not even sent me the email yet, but my head is just getting a little bit bigger now, you know? Okay, so what about you, Jonathan? What are you up to?
So my name is Jonathan McCormick. The pen name that I use is a shortened version, so J.A. McCormick. I wrote a book called The Investment Perspective, and it explores the ancient story of the parable of the talents from a somewhat new perspective that hasn't been explored. It's a book that's really for, it's kind of an everyone book. It's not intended just for Christians. Many of the ancient stories, particularly the parables of Jesus, are largely, they've been viewed very narrowly. And this one in particular, but it has themes and underlying, I guess I'd say themes or motives that touch every human being on the planet, and this one in particular. And so that's what I have done with a lot of my spare time in the last year or so. I've been asked on a couple of shows, you know, how long it took to write, and it's my first book. So in a way, I could say it took 41 years to write, because it's taken me this long to decide that I needed to write it. And it's been the compilation of a lot of my life. And it's led up to it. And another way I could say it took a couple months, really. And it's, you know, when I wrote it, I did it with the intention of making it as concise as possible. So it's a short book. But it's kind of packed full of meaning. As far as me, more than that, I'm kind of another guy like everybody else out there listening. I don't really do too well working for somebody else. I've been self-employed or owned businesses for a long time, and you know, in between different things, taking various odd jobs to get by.
Yeah.
But in some ways, I think I'm kind of boring, and in other ways, people might say I'm not boring at all. But my life is kind of like everyone else's, full of intrigue and monotony. So, anyway,
no, interesting. Well, I think right that sometimes. Is that an echo?
I hear it.
Oh gosh, I'm not sure why there's an echo. Because I haven't changed anything. Right, I was saying that I think we are all excited in one way or the other. We probably just haven't seen something that, what's the word I'm looking for, that spurs on, that makes us, you know, it just fills us with, like, it's almost like having something straight into your veins that makes you feel super happy and super content, that just makes you go, wow, you know what? I am alive. I feel, you know what? And I tend to be like that most of the time, and I don't even take alcohol at all. It's just because, you know, I think every day is a day to be grateful. Because if we focus, well, for me personally, I think if we focus on the mundane things, the things that are not going well, you know, it can make us almost want to do something morbid, right? Whereas if we focus on the really good things, you know, it makes us feel good. And that's why, you know, sometimes I tend to seem like I'm always on a high, even when I've not had any alcohol or anything. Well, hey, what do I know? Right, so it's the new year. We didn't even say any happy new years. Happy new years, guys. It's been an absolute pleasure meeting you, and thank you for coming onto the show. So tell me, right? Because I always find that the authors that I have that come to the cafe, they're actually quite knowledgeable, and I learn something new from them every single time, apart from having fun with them as well. So how would you use this? I think the new year is a time for new beginnings, time to start afresh, like, whatever didn't go wrong, whatever you didn't achieve in 2017, it's kind of like, you know what, that's past now. This is a clean slate. This is a new beginning. This is a time to start afresh. So how do you use the new year as a time for new opportunities? How do you use it to your advantage?
I'll start. I just came back from Austin yesterday. Actually, I was in Austin for 3 days. And I just kind of was going over like what I did 2016 and what I want to do 2017. So for me, I like to kind of fast for like 3 days, like a juice fast. Just go to Whole Foods and get like some juices and like do nothing but drink juice and just kind of meditate and just kind of go inside and pray and ask God, okay, what do I really want to do this year? And then kind of make an action plan, because to me it makes no sense to write down all these goals and then don't have like an action plan, because the goals would just be sitting there.
Yeah.
Forget accomplished. And then I like to tape them up everywhere. So I have it on my computer, I have it on my desk, I have it on the wall in front of me. Yeah. That's kind of like what I like to do at the beginning of the year.
Yeah. But you see now, I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual, right? And I'm a firm believer that no matter how much you pray, right, God is not going to come down from heaven to do anything for you.
So you're going to write a book. Yes, yes, you know, that's true.
So praying is definitely, you know, I think, you know, everyone. There was this Doctor Who episode, because I've been thinking about it really recently, right, and there was this Doctor Who episode which I found, and I really need to try to remember this episode, right? So anyway, in this episode, you know, there was this thing. I can't remember, was it a demon? It was something, right, that was eating on people's faith, right? Mm-hmm. And so what Dr. Who is saying is that it doesn't matter if you're not religious, right? Everybody has faith, right? Even if you believe in science, even if you believe, let's say, for instance, your faith is that, you know, whatever goes up must come down, or your faith is that, you know, for every good action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. So there's karma. So whatever it is that you believe, whatever it is that you hold on to help you move forward, to help you deal with the craziness that is in the world. Because there are a lot of bad things, right? And it's our faith, I think, that helps us to move forward and take the next step forward, irrespective of the bad things that happen in life, right? So, you know, we've got faith that, yes, you know, whatever plan it is that we have, you know, would come to fruition, but we've still got to do something about it. I mean, for instance, that's why you came into my cafe now, because, you know, you want to talk about, you know, your book and what you're doing. But if you stayed at home and just praying about it, you know, nothing's going to happen. So after you've done your praying, what sort of strategies do you have?
Well, the prayer is more, asking in line on what I was called to do. It's not like, Father, help me do this. It's more like, okay, why did you create me? Why am I here? You know, like, what purpose do I serve? And that's more the prayer. And so after that, I wrote down a couple of things, and then I create like an action step. And one of the action steps it was to reach out to the cafe and reach out to other marketers. And another one, I want to turn this book series into a television show. And so it's like learning about production and screenwriting and all that wonderful jazz. There's so much to learn. It's exciting. And then an action step I took was go to the Texas Film Commissioner. So I went there and talked to them and got incentive resources and, you know, just taking like little baby steps every day toward making Love, God, and Tattoos a TV show. And so, yeah, so on my wall, I have Love, God, and Tattoos TV show, but then I have like a million things that needs to happen to make the TV show a reality.
So now you're holding out to us, UK. You're holding out. You're just giving us snippets, like just a little, here's a little crumble, here's a little crumble. You know, you're not giving. Well, I will come back to you because I am going to interrogate you. See, normally I always say to people, like, this cafe is not a Larry King style thing. You know, I'm not going, well, you know, tell us about this. You know, it's not a political correspondent, but as soon as you're holding out on me, it will be a political correspondence, woman. Okay?
Okay.
We will hold you to the side, right? Because it seems like the only gentleman in the midst of two women is a bit on the shy side. So we've got to bring him out. We've got to rip him out and say, you know, rip out the band-aid. Come on, Jonathan. Tell us. What's your strategy for the new year?
Well, you know, interestingly, this is going to sound maybe a little strange at first, but just consider it for a moment. My strategy is one. You know, with all whatever you're considering, anybody out there, you know, it's a new year and you may set resolutions. You may decide you're going to go to the gym. You may decide that you're going to as Alicia said, she's going to be working on making her book into a TV series.
Yeah,
and that's all awesome. For me, I have plans. You know, it's like I intend to keep. You know, appearing on radio programs and continuing to write my next book and all of those things. Now, consider this. Consider the idea of something that might sound a little bit like an anti-strategy, but I think might get you further along in the way of meaningfulness in life. And you guys mentioned, you were talking a little bit about the idea of faith.
Yeah.
So consider for a moment, you know, a little bit of a change in perspective. For most of us, yes, we have our goals in life, right? It's like each of us has something we want to do. Yeah. And yet so many times we do the things that we want to do, but we end up finding out when we get done that it didn't bring the meaning and the fullness of what we wanted out of it. And there's still something missing that we're looking for. And what I would suggest, as people are going into the new year, and this has been a lot on my mind lately, is to begin to explore and to trust the questions of your own heart as you face the new year. So oftentimes, and to trust that which will not necessarily, it may not bring you any profit. If you consider all the great people who've ever lived and who've done great things in the world, the Einsteins, the Mother Teresas, all of them, you know, it's like when they really began kind of walking out on that faith, walking out on doing something, so many times they weren't doing something that they could see would bring them some sort of benefit in the end. I consider like Mother Teresa, right? So here she is in this convent in Calcutta. And when she walked out into the streets intending to serve the poorest of the poor, there was nothing, it was very much, I can't describe it, but it wasn't really a goal. You know, she didn't say, you know, if I do this, you know, in 10 years or in 20 years or 30 or 40 years, you know, everybody will look up to me and say that, you know, I am this wonderful woman who, you know, impacted the world. It was more that there was kind of an inward burning that was particular to her that she couldn't describe.
Yeah.
That kind of moved her, you know, a question of her own heart that could only be answered by leaving the convent and by going out and serving the poorest of the poor. And so, you know, it's very anti what we normally think of in terms of the way that we move forward in life. But, you know, for all your goals and whatever you may have, you know, the beginnings of faith can so often begin by something that doesn't always look very logical and that requires a risk.
Yes.
So consider those things and maybe put them down on paper, the things that the questions of your own heart, the things that maybe you've always wondered about or always wanted to do or always questioned, and you may have questions that may even go against the grain of your own upbringing. Write them down and let those things begin to work upon you. And that's where faith, I think, can really begin to work in your life.
Right. No, thanks. You know, saying that, though, it reminds me of two episodes ago. I had a guest. His name was Gleb Sapirsky, something like that. If you go on my blog now, you will see it. And he came and he talked about how to use science-based strategies for wise decision making, right? And what he said on that episode and what you've just said, they seem to overlap, right? Now, I was saying to him at the time, because he's, you know, the things he was saying, you know, about being altruistic, you know, about being given, you know, about finding time. And he was saying that all of those things are all backed up by science. And so those are science-based strategies, you know, that helps you to make, you know, better decisions. And so basically, as you were saying, what you were just saying just now, it reminded me of the conversation that we had when he visited a cafe 2 weeks ago. So that's actually quite, because I kept saying to him that, you know what, everything that he was saying, he sounded from a spiritual, religious, from a faith point of view. And he goes, no, it actually wasn't that. It's more, you know, they're all backed up by science, because when you make time for family, when you make time for the things that makes you happy, rather than focusing on what you think you're supposed to do, you know, making time for family, making time for friends, being given of more of yourself, you find inner peace, you find inner happiness. And just like you said, Alicia, that you do yoga, you know, you also have time to spend time, you know, to meditate and just get that inner peace. And then you find that once you're relaxed, you're mentally refreshed, you're mentally at peace, then you're able to now make strategies, you're now able to make better decisions, you're now able to make wiser decisions. Whereas if you're constantly stressed, you're not sleeping very well, you know, you're all over the place emotionally, then you're not the best versions of yourself that you could be to make the best decisions for yourself moving forward. Now, you know, I mentioned before that I'm not religious, but I'm quite spiritual. And last year, this was something that actually helped me, because I was then speaking to myself, and I was speaking to my God, and I was like, you know what, right? I work really, really, really hard, right? Like, there isn't anybody that I could think of that I would say is a more hardworking person than I am, right? So why am I not where I would like to be, or I want to be, or I need to be, right? And you know, one of those ones where you know, it's almost like a heart-wrenching cry within yourself, because all of this conversation was all in my head, right? Nobody knew what was going on. And then I didn't got an answer. It's like, I was working hard, but I was not working smart.
Yeah.
So if you take a toothbrush, right, and you try to scrub a floor, right, you're working really hard, but you're not working smartly.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's not progress. It's not about working hard alone. You have to, you know, you have to add working smartly into that. If you work hard and working smart, then. So that was what I learned from 2016, when I was like, you know what, actually that was true. I was really, really working hard, but then I wasn't working as smartly as I could be. I wasn't applying, I was just doing anything and everything and working really hard, and I was seeing returns, don't get me wrong. You know, if you're taking a toothbrush to clean the floor, yes, you will see, wherever the brush touches, you will see clean spots. But you're not making, you know, exponential progress like, you know, like you would want, or you think you should, you know, for the amount of efforts that you've put into it.
What you're saying is so funny. I was just listening to this podcast called The Creative Pen. It's a really good podcast for anyone who wants to be an author. And Joanna Penn, she's in Bath, actually. She's from London, but she lives in Bath. Yeah. And she was saying that it's good to feel, she was kind of using an analogy of rock, like big rocks, medium rocks, and sand. And she said most of us fill our life with sand, and we never get around to doing the big rocks because we don't focus on the big rocks are like the major, like whatever it is that you are really trying to do. She goes, try to fill your life with the big rocks and you know, focus on whatever it is that makes the big rocks happen, and make sure you don't spend a lot of time doing sand activities for it. And she was saying, like, social media is sand. You know, yes, you can connect with your audience on social media, but if you spend too much time doing it, you're not writing the book, you're not editing, you're not marketing, you're not filling your life with the, that's just one example, with the big rock of, say your big rock is, I want to publish my first book this year. Yes. Well, if you're always on Facebook, or if you're always watching YouTube videos, you're not writing, and you're not editing, and you're not marketing, you're not building a website and all that stuff. So as you were saying that, you know, basically what she was trying to say, the same thing you were saying, is try to work smart and try to first of all figure out what it is that you want, and then try to work smart to make that goal happen and not do all this intermediary stuff just to be busy and feel like you're accomplishing something when maybe in the end you're really not accomplishing as much as we thought we would in the beginning.
Yes.
Exactly. Can I add something there too?
Yeah.
You know, just a thought to go with that, kind of with what I was saying as far as, you know, the ultimate meaning of life and gaining that meaning out of it. You know, it's interesting that if you can also take into mind the perspective that, you know, while the strategies are happening and you may see results or not see results, I think I could boil my thought down to just, you know, accepting also that even in the times when it appears like you're not making progress, that there may be an underlying unseen hand working in those times where it seems like you're cleaning the floor with a toothbrush. And I'm kind of going a different direction. I don't mean to shift it off of that. It's like, but you know, that acceptance, I know for me, in the times when I have been frustrated, kind of like Segulola, you said, you know, where it's like I was looking up and, you know, like, oh God, you know, it's like, I am working so hard. Why am I not getting along? And it's like, in retrospect now, I can see that there were things happening in my life that were bringing me to where the changes that needed to happen in me so that I could find those big rocks, kind of like you were talking about, Alicia. Right. But I can only see it in retrospect, how nice it would be to accept in those times and go, okay, you know, this must be for a purpose, even though the floor is not clean and I've been working for, you know, hours or whatever. But anyway.
No, I get what you're saying.
I was going to say, it could also be for when you're saying, talking about that, Jonathan, I'm thinking character development, you know, sometimes, you know, like these huge goals, but like you can even look at entertainment and there's so many people who they're talented and they've made it to the top, they're number one, but then they do something stupid and now they're in trouble because they don't have the character. Like they don't have the substance within them to kind of support where they are. So they're talented, but they don't have like more like the inner development, where sometimes maybe when you're working with a toothbrush, that takes a lot of character development, like patience and gratitude and, you know, just a whole bunch of different parts of yourself that will grow and mature. So when you do arrive there, you're ready for it. And it's not something that's going to crush you. And it's not something that's going to make you go start doing drugs and, you know what I'm saying? Just start making foolish decisions and I'm thinking about where I am right that now, because the things that I'm doing too, I'm like, really, like how long is this going to take? But I can see while I'm in it, I'm like, this is really, really stretching my patience, because I can be a very impatient person. Like this is really helping me with patience, and it's helping me with perseverance and keep, you know, it's helping with staying hopeful in the midst of it looking bleak. And just certain things that I could see is helping, not necessarily toward like the goal, but just within me as a human being.
Totally.
Yeah, everybody, I think, you know, I think everyone starts off with a toothbrush, because it's only when you start off with something before you know that actually I've got choices, I've got options, I've got, you know, so everyone starts off with a toothbrush, I think. Only very few unique people in this world, you know, who possibly had someone else who started off with a toothbrush, then given them their wisdom that actually, you know what, you can speed it up. But and then again, it's also down to you as an individual, because as you know, what it is that you want or how you, where you want to go. I think it's, that's the thing. And you know, what is success for you? What, you know, what is your destination? Where do you see yourself going? Where do you see yourself being? And that would determine, you know, where, you know, your starting point is and what the strategies, you know, you use to, you know, want to get there. But again, so I totally, you know, get that. And to me, I totally understand that, you know, we're going to have times of little and then we're going to have times of plenty. It's just like if you're planting a crop, for instance, right? You don't put a seed in the floor and then it turns up to a plant the next day. You know, even if it's the next instant, right, the next second, it still needs time. Even if it's 1 minute, it still needs that 1 minute you know, you're going to have 1 minute from between when you put it in the soil to when it actually grows, right? So there's still going to be that time in between when, you know, it's, you know, you've got to have nothing for you to get something. But what I was actually referring to when I was saying toothbrush is in the sense of, let me see. Say you have 5 people in your household, right? Say 2 adults and 3 kids, right? And you're a farmer, for instance, right? So the toothbrush analogy that I was using is kind of like, do you plant, say, 1 plant for each, you know, and then harvest it, and then see you only have enough food for 1 member of the family? Or do you plant to feed yourselves, not just for 1 person, but for everybody, but then also have enough stored so that when the next planting season is going, when you have nothing there, you know, available because there's nothing, you're waiting for the plants to grow, will you then have enough to cover you for those type of little? So that's basically how the whole, you know, having a strategy comes. Whereas if you're just cleaning, you know, with a toothbrush for cleaning sake, you do not have an end point, you do not know where you're going, you do not know what you want to achieve, then that's basically what you're going to have. And the little human is away, and I left her in the bedroom. I said, okay, darling, are you going to say hello to everyone?
Hello.
she's not intrusive. Okay, 1 second, darling. Say hello. You're going to say hello? No. She's not interested in saying hello. She's woken up and she's going, where is
she? She should be making my sweet potato pancakes.
Did you hear that, right? They want sweet potato pancakes. Right, okay, well, she's up now, so we'll just let the sleep disappear from her eyes and then we'll send her to the kitchen. So sweet potato pancakes, hash browns, bacon, and something else. We can't remember what the rest of, but whatever she brings out, we'll just take it.
Right? We won't throw a fit.
But you get what I'm trying to say, though, that, you know, sometimes when people start off, they don't know where they want to go. They don't have an end point. So if you don't know where you want to go, then how do you know how to get there?
Right.
You know, so for instance, if you've not really decided, you're like, oh, yes, I want to publish a book. But then you've not really decided, do I want to publish an ebook? Do I want to publish a paperback? Do I want to publish a hardback book? Do I want to publish a board book? You know, so you need to actually have, you know, that's why I say, you know, you need to work smart. So when you then start, so I think when I was at university, what do they call this? So you need to have a SMART objective, right? And this is all part of how you work smart, you know, how you work smart, because you then have an objective, you then have a defined endpoint. Like someone would say, you know, I want to lose weight. But someone might say, actually, I want to lose 10 kilograms by the end of 2017. You see that this is quite right. Different. Someone just wants to lose weight as opposed to someone who wants to lose 10 kilograms by the end of, so you're making it specific, you're making it measurable, and you're making sure that it's achievable. If you then say, oh, I want to, or if you say, I want to make $10 billion by the end of 2017, so seriously, right? Is that realistic? Is that achievable? You know, whereas if you've got 0 for something, you say, okay, but well, by the end of 2017, I want to make 10,000 pounds. See, now that is more achievable, considering that you're coming from 0. And so that's, I think, and I am not an expert, but I think that's all part of working smart. And I think that's also what, you know, Joanna Penn was also trying to say, that you should focus on the rocks. Because if you just do the little things like, yes, I want to do this, but I don't know what it is that I want to do. Right? Whereas if you then say, right, I want to do this by this time, it's specific, it's measurable, it's achievable, it's realistic. Mm-hmm. Right, and these are the objectives that you set in, right? And then you can then say, for me, you know, I can then say, right, okay, well, 2017, it's a new year, it's January, this is a time to say, okay, right, let's say, for instance, I wanted to lose 10 kilograms. So I'm like, okay, by December 2017, I want to lose, say, 12 kilograms, so 1 kilogram every month for the next 12 months, right? So what am I going to do, you know, what am I going to do that, right? So I'm going to think, right, okay, where's my cupboard? What junk have I got? Let's get rid of all the junk in my, let's just start off, I'll remove half the junk in my fridge, in my cupboard. I'll just reduce half of it. Because then you don't want to just start off and give yourself, you know, your body shock, right? Because then your body's just going to rebel against you. So you remove half of it, right? And then you say, you know what? I am going to go for a walk, even if it's for 5 minutes, whatever I feel comfortable with. Don't give yourself, you know, any say, you know, and just start off because you know you're going from zero. So whatever you do is a bonus, right? So you're like, okay, half the junk in my food cupboard and in my fridge, I will get rid of it. I will then walk for however minutes I feel comfortable with.
Drink more water.
Exactly. Drink more water twice a week
mm-hmm.
for the walk. And to that, at the end of month one, you then say, ah, actually, I was able to actually not buy any more junk. I was able to drink more fruit. And then you measure yourself and you see, oh, I actually lost 2 kilograms. See, it's you do it in little chunks till by the time you get to December, you might see that you'd actually lost more than the 12 kilograms, you know, or at least even if you don't lose all of it, you will see that just doing those little changes, you might be closer to your goal. Whereas if you just say, oh, I want to lose weight, and then you look the first month and you only lost 0.5 kilogram, you're just going to be deflated.
Right, because you didn't know how much weight you wanted to lose. I mean, technically, you lost weight if you lost 0.5 kilogram. So, yes. You know, since you didn't have a starting point, it's kind of like, well, you achieved your goal. But you're right. You're being very clear and being very defined on what you want is important.
Yeah, so, you know, it's about having a strategy and being smart about it. You know, whereas if you just think, I'm just going to work and I'm just going to do that, you don't have. So, for instance, you want to lose weight, but then you're like, yes, I'm going to go to the gym and I'm going to do 2 hours every single day and I'm still going to eat all my junk. Well, 2 hours every single day for someone who has not worked hard, you know, worked out before, that's unachievable. That's unrealistic. You will burn out, you know.
Right. That is what you're saying is so, it's funny because this basically is what I was doing for the past 3 days, right? So I essentially want the show to be on HBO. But I have absolutely zero contacts with HBO, right? So I said, okay. I'm like, okay, how can I start this now? I'm like, okay, YouTube. Well, I can break it down. Instead of doing like 10 50-minute episodes for HBO, I can do 10 5-minute episodes for YouTube. That I can do. And then measure and, you know, kind of measure it out that way and upload it to YouTube. And then I have something to show HBO. So you're right. It's good to have the big goals. Like if someone wanted to make $10 billion, that's awesome. They can totally do that. But then what are we going to do? The little baby steps every day to walk towards that $10 billion or that HBO TV show or whatever it is that we're trying to do.
Exactly. You know, it's kind of like when someone says, I want to make, you know, $1 million, right? When you break it down into little steps, because that's what I say to people, right? You need to have a destination, because if you don't know where you're going or if you don't know where you're coming from, you're just going to be walking about aimlessly, right? So if you know where you are now, so for instance with you, you've got a book, right? And it's a series, right? And you know where your destination is, which is HBO, right? So now what are you going to do, you know, for you to get it? If you wanted to go, let's say you wanted to come to London, right? You need to go and have your passport, then you need to have your visa, then you need to get a cab, you know, you need to book your flight to London, then you've got to take a cab to the airport, then you've got to check in, then once you get there, then you need to then make sure you've booked a hotel for London, in London, then you've got to then book a cab to take you from the hotel, from the airport to the hotel, and then whatever it is that you want to do, you need to make sure that you've got a plan, at least if not anything, you've got a map of London Underground to take you about using public transport, because we like our public transport here very much. You know, not everybody drives like you guys do over there. So at least you've got a map of London Underground, so you know what to use, how to use the underground system and the public transport system here. But you see, so that's basically having a strategy, and that's how you plan smart. But if you just say, oh, I just want to go to London, and you've not made an arrangement for your hotel, you've not made an arrangement for a taxi company, I mean, you don't even need that, but you need to, you could go to the hotel. Yeah, when you arrive, you can pick, you know, a cab there, but then that tends to be more expensive. I mean, if you've got loads of money, then, you know, that's fine. But then if you book a cab, you know, beforehand, and you find that it tends to be slightly cheaper than when you just pick a cab on the day. And also for me, I find that it's safer to book a cab that is a registered company, because then, you know, just from a security point of view. So that's, you know, how, so, you know, with you, you know, you want to, so someone, I think that's when I first started, when I was clueless about what I was doing, you know, someone said to me, right, okay, well, they're a network and they would like me to come on, but then this is the number I need to have. I think it said I needed to have about 30,000 downloads for me to come on their network, right? And I was like, oh, wow, okay, well, that's good to know. But again, I'm not interested, because I think my show is quite nice the way it is. I'm not going to put it in anyone's network, but it's just sort of nice to know that, okay, fine. If you want to go on HBO, you need to show them that, okay, well, there is demand for your show, right? And just like you said, you, when you put it on YouTube, how do people engage with it? How do people talk about it? And it's kind of like how the whole self-publishing world took a life of its own, right? Right. So people weren't, you know, the publishers, you know, they were being really, really, for lack of a better word to say, and then people say, you know what, F you, I will go, you know, and then, so when those people then show that actually, you know what, people actually do like my book, people, you know, then the publishers, their ears perk up and are like, oh, actually, who's this person, right? Let's go and see how we can get them on our books, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're then able to come up with a strategy that even if you're with HBO, you can't leave them, because again, the success of the book is all down to you, right? And if it does, if you leave everything to them and it doesn't work, right, they're just going to kick you to the curb. You know, nobody has loyalty these days, right? So you've still got to do the work, you know, to get it to be where you want to be, and you've got to still have a strategy, you've got to have a vision as the creator of where or how you want the book to do, or the, you know, the TV show to do. And that's the whole planning, you know, stage of it. So yes, you know, this is the time where if you're just scrubbing the ground, but then you don't know. So for instance, like, you know, Jonathan said that sometimes, you know, it seems like nothing is happening because something bigger is about to happen. But actually, if you wanted to scrub a floor, right, but then you don't know what area you wanted to cover, for instance, right, then you're just scrubbing. You don't know if you're almost finishing, or if you're, say, for instance, if you wanted to scrub, say, something the size of a football field, like seriously, I don't think how much patience you would need to use a toothbrush to scrub the size of a football field, like that kind of patience. I'm not going to even call, but I don't think a lot of people would have that kind of patience to use a toothbrush to scrub a football field, right? So you then have to be able to analyze it to say, well, I've got a goal. This is what I want to achieve. This is what I want to do. This is where I need to get to. And what would be the best way to get me to my destination in a timely manner? So even if you...
Can I interject something there?
Yeah.
Well, I may not have let you finish. Go ahead, Sagan.
No. Go and finish.
Okay. You know, and to interject with, you know, with what you're talking about, it's, you know, it is really important. You know, it's like as you're considering what, you know, we're all after really is what we really want. We often get so often distracted on what we think we want, but little children know what they want, and we've kind of forgotten. So, you know, what I would recommend all along with what you're saying, all that planning is so important. All of those things are so important. And yet, throwing in there, you know, being open to now and then walk around aimlessly. And that in many instances, you know, in those moments where you allow yourself to just be an experience, so often I have found that it's in those moments that feed the planning, that help me to see a broader perspective of what I really want in life. And so I'm not actually going against what you're saying. You're totally right. It's like it takes that planning, it takes looking at it. But I'd recommend, you know, I'd say too to anybody listening that it does also require, if we believe that it's only my brain that's going to figure this out, we'll discover in short order that it requires something more, and it requires that moment of openness, of kind of aimless, of stopping, allowing yourself to be open to the fact that, you know, that all of my planning needs life to be breathed into it, and that life comes in, you know, that moment when you look in your child's eyes, when you take that walk, when you, you know, so I'm just, I guess I'm broadening that a little bit too, that it's that, that anti, what was the word we were using? Well, I threw away the sticky note that it was on. Oh, the anti-strategy.
All right. You know,
the two have to go hand in hand. Or else, yeah. You know, you talk about the publishing world. It's like, so the reason so many, you know, books have not done well is because so often authors don't have anything to say. And it's because they've thought too much and they've not lived enough. And so both have to go hand in hand. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course. I totally agree.
I think it's really good to piggyback on what you're saying, Jonathan. That's why I think it's really good to start in prayer or meditation or what, however, taking a walk or whatever it is you do to kind of declutter your brain and not think about the strategy. I think it's really good to connect with your, say you're not a religious person, you're a spiritual person, to connect with, you know, for me it's Jesus, but for others it could be Buddha or it could, you know, whoever it is. And kind of get that guidance. Like, why did you create me? Why did you design me? I am here for a purpose. There is a reason that I'm here. So what is that reason? And then allow your, allow God to reveal to you what that reason is. And then, you know, from there, I think that's where the life comes in, because the creator of life is giving you the reason for your living, right? So if the creator of life is telling you why you're here, there is nothing to walk aimlessly about, honestly, because you know. There's nothing else, unless you want to get a human opinion. There's nothing else to really, you know, walk aimlessly about. So once you know, once God tells you why you're here, you know, start taking those small baby steps and towards whatever it is that it is. And you're right, we should definitely not be rigid, and we should experience life, and we should travel and whatever it is that people like to do to enjoy life. But at the same time, I think if we walk too aimlessly, we'll be 50 and we'll look up and it's like, okay, I haven't even like half of my life is kind of gone, and I thought I was going to be here and I'm not, I'm here. And you can be content in that. But I think that's where the whole midlife crisis comes in. People are just like, I thought I was going to be doing this by now. You know what I mean?
Yes.
There definitely needs to be a strategic planning about life at the same time, enjoying it at the same time.
Exactly. Yes. And the only sort of people that I think who can wander aimlessly for so long are people who've got loads of money, because bills need to be paid, right? I don't know about you, but bills need to be paid, okay? So I can't afford to just, you know, so whilst I'm enjoying life and, you know, cuddling and spending time with my little girl, I've also at the back of my mind be strategic, like, okay, so for instance, if someone said they wanted to earn, you know, $1 million, right? When you think of $1 million, that's quite a lot, right? But then if you break it down to say, wait, so let me see, I have to bring my fingers and think, okay, what? So there's 6 zeros and one figure, right? So basically I could do 1,000 things that would fetch me $1,000, and that's still $1 million. Or I can do 10,000 things at $100, and that's still $1 million. Or I could do 100,000 things at $10, and that would give me $1 million, right? So it's all about, you know, sort of being strategic, that wherever your destination is, wherever that you want to go, right? And I would like to think, say, for instance, most people would like financial freedom, right? So when you want to go for financial freedom, whatever it is, right, then you need to think, how am I going to break that down and how am I going to be strategic? That's just what I think anyway. But again, I don't know it all. So Jonathan, for you, right, what is the strategy? I know you like to live, which is good, but then what strategies will you apply for, you know, for 2017?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I find myself on the other end of what we've talked about here. I've been through the midlife crisis and come to the other side of it. And, you know, for me, all that I planned for my life, I've worked really hard at it and succeeded, and I failed. In some ways, I could say I've succeeded more than I failed. In some ways, I could say I failed more than I've succeeded. Mm-hmm. And I've discovered that for me personally, that I finally come to a resting place, and it was not what I expected, and it wasn't what I planned for, and it wasn't what I schemed for, and it wasn't what I intended for my life. Mm-hmm. But it's now bearing much, much fruit. You know, one way or the other, I you say, well, what's my plan for the new year? You know, for me, writing is something I do for sure. But it's kind of strange because, you know, I haven't made a lot of money yet from it. And I don't know whether I will or I won't, but I know without a doubt it was what I was called to do in life. And God may reward me. He may reward me. I mean, I've done business. He may give me a great big contract, you know, that'll make me a millionaire. I don't know. Or he may cause this book to do really well and I'll make money from that. But I know that from this point forward, my life's work, what I'm intended to do, is to share a perspective that a lot of people don't see. And so for me, through the new year and through 2018, 2019, 2020, 2021, till I lie in the grave, I'm going to spend doing what I was made to do, which was not what I thought I was made to do. It wasn't what I planned on doing. But I'm going to keep sharing that perspective. And, you know, a lot, too, the strange thing is that it's like, you know, you could say, oh, well, that's, you know, that's what you do. And the funny thing is it's like, it's something that I don't just do it because of, you know, maybe a reward it'll bring me or whatever else. I actually do it to survive. That may sound strange, but it's like, you know, if I couldn't write, I would lose my therapist. My therapist is a notebook, and I would lose my my connection with my deity. It's where I pray. It's where I do everything. And wonder of all wonders, it turned into a book.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe there will be no more book. Maybe it'll all be between me and God from now on. But you know, I'm finally content, and I'm at peace with just being what I am. And you know, whatever money or praise or whatever else it brings me, I just want to do that and to do it well, and to be able to at the end of it all say that, you know, I've been faithful as best I could to what God made in me. That's my desire for the new year, to be faithful to what God has made of me. So
perfect. Well, that's good. You know, again, everybody has, you know, different desires and different endpoints. You know, and mostly some people will tell you that just publishing their book is good enough for them. So no, that's perfect. I think the main thing is you know and acknowledging what your endpoint is, and you know, being happy and content with that. So well done, because you find that a lot of people don't even know where they want to be. So the fact that, you know, you're at that point where you're happy and you're content with, you know, the amount of work that you've put into it, you know, that's great. You know, unlike our little sister, you know, nodding my head towards her, she would like to have a HBO book film series. So let's see what strategy she's had. She's finally shared, because at the beginning she was being very close-lipped. So now she's shared what she's going to do on YouTube. Okay, Smithy, so tell us now. So are you going to do one series from each book? How are you going to do it?
I'm still trying to figure out how to do it. I'm in a lot of prayer about this, because I don't know if it's going to be like 10 episodes per book, or if it's just, if I'm going to take the whole series and just kind of create a show about the series, not necessarily going in any particular order. I don't want to deviate too far from the story. So as of right now, I would love to work with a screenwriter. I'm kind of working on a screenplay now, but I would love to work with somebody, because I just think creativity just breathes. I've written a couple of screenplays with my ex-roommate, and it was just awesome. We'd be like to 4 o'clock in the morning writing. It was so cool. So I would love to find a screenwriter to kind of help me bring it along. But yes, I would love to have like 5 seasons, maybe 10 to 13 episodes per season, eventually on HBO. But how to start with YouTube, it would probably be more like 5 minutes, like 3 to 5 minutes per episode, and maybe like 10 episodes. Lisa, I don't know if you've heard of her, but Issa Rae just did this. I think it's called An Awkward Black Girl. She had 21 YouTube videos, and now that show is on HBO. It's called Insecure. So this literally just happened. It's funny, because I was wanting to do it, and then I saw it happen with someone else. I'm like, yes!
That's so awesome.
Yeah, HBO's watching. HBO's definitely watching YouTube.
So
that's kind of the goal. It's just to break down the series. I think for the beginning, I'm just going to focus on book one, because I don't want to give away too much of what's happening in 2 through 8 or 2 through 7. So yeah, I'm still working that out. And it's really exciting, because it's just a lot of character planning and development and creativity, and also like purpose. Like Alcatraz's life, you know, she came from a really great family. They ended up dying in a car crash. So she's kind of an orphan, you know, just by chance, by happenstance. And she's in Los Angeles, so she's kind of trying to find her way around, you know, LA. All these interesting people like Hariko, who has been in sex trafficking since she was 4 years old in Japan. And she meets Ebony, who was from Tennessee and who was raised in the church and left the church and doesn't want to hear anything about God. And so she's meeting all these interesting people in this, you know, tattoo world and the porn industry and the stripping industry. And so she's trying to figure out how she could love Jesus in the midst of all this and where he is in the midst of all this. So the show is actually, you know, it's creative, but at the same time, there's a huge message about how God loves everybody, no matter what their situation is. So to kind of, you know, and that's, I think, where I am at, like, how do I weave the message in to 3 to 5 minutes, as opposed to if you have an hour, it's so much easier to tell a story in an hour, as opposed to like 3 minutes, you know what I'm saying? So That's kind of where I'm at. It's not a struggle, but that's just where I'm at right now. But it's exciting. It's totally exciting. I cannot wait. That's where I'm at. It's like incorporating and, you know, it's the creativity and the business. So it's incorporating a production company and, you know, hiring people to help you. And it's starting a new chapter, which is exciting.
I do know what one of my best friends, or the main best friend that I've got, he's actually a scriptwriter and a movie director. But again, he's expensive. He's like, you know what, I've done several movies and whatnot. But if you want, I can link you guys up together.
That's fine. I mean, quite honestly, that's great. When it comes to stuff like that, what Jonathan was saying earlier about walking aimlessly, I really am kind of walking aimlessly in that. I'm not like, oh, I have to meet this person. I have to be with this person.
No,
when it comes to people, I'm very like, Lord, just connect me to the right people. I'm really having faith in God to connect me with the right crew, the right cast, the right assistants. Even HBO, if HBO's not right, then, you know, Netflix, you know, I'm saying HBO, I believe it's HBO, but even if, you know, as I'm praying and the Lord's like, no, HBO, I want it on Netflix, or I want it on Hulu or Amazon Prime. I want it to be, you know, on demand or whatever. I'm flexible with that too. So I just think all that's going to come. I really do. I think and this is with anything, I think as we walk towards our goals, everything, every human being, every resource, it all just kind of like, we're magnets. Like it just attracts to you. So great. If I meet them and we work well together, awesome. If I don't, awesome.
No, that's fine. So how are you, what strategies are you going to use to attract viewers on YouTube?
Viewers on YouTube. Well, first I kind of want to I need to write the script and then, you know, cast it and crew up. And there's so many things involved in making even a short, you know, there's so many different elements involved in it. Marketing on YouTube. The first thing that came to my mind was keywords because I haven't even started thinking about marketing on YouTube yet. I'm still focusing on the actual story, because really, if the story is good, it will eventually find its audience, right? So I don't want to like focus on marketing, and I know this might sound like that sounds like a sand idea right now, because the story hasn't been written. I think the big rock for me now is making the 3 to 5 minutes so compelling and so stimulating and so exciting that people want to view the second and third and fourth installment, you know. And so the big rock for me is writing the story. And then once the story is written, then I can focus on how to market it on YouTube.
Okay, that's fair enough. From a, let me just be a bearer of bad news, right? Just because, you know, sometimes we like to have the thing, and just coming from an author's perspective, right? And not even just an author's, you know, just sort of life in general perspective. And again, obviously this is just a perspective. And I am not in any way, shape, or form saying that it is the best way or the right way or the only way. I'm just putting it out there, right? Because, you know, we're friends and we're having a discussion, right? Mm-hmm. As an author, you would see that that's why a lot of times, sometimes, I don't know what percentage of times, you will see that people, even before a book is ready, they put, you know, the book, you know, yeah, they have a plan and they say, right, okay, because as much as we would like to think that all our things, all our content, you know, is absolutely fantastic, there are a gazillion people who are doing the same thing that we are. And if we're only doing something to just put the content out there and we find satisfaction with it, that's absolutely perfect, right? Mm-hmm. If we want more people to see it, then we need to give more people a reason to want to do that, right? And so, for instance, any author will tell you, right, that writing a book, creating content, writing a blog, doing anything that you create, that is the easy bit. I think I read somewhere or I heard somewhere, and I always see loads of, you know, useful ideas somewhere, right? And I think I read, let's just say I read, right, because I can't remember where I heard this or read this, but I think I read that if you have a blog and nobody reads it, it's just an online diary. Then what differentiates a blog from an online diary is that your blog, you actually have people who are reading it. And even if you get, you know, I've got my sister, I've got my friends, you know, and just by virtue of the fact that we are friends, we are family, that is not reason enough for them to be, you know, invested in my blog, you know, to want to read it. So it's other people, you know, who I give them a reason to want to come to my blog to listen to or to read what I have to say, or, you know, my podcast, for instance, you know, by virtue of the fact that, you know, I've got family, I've got friends, that's not a reason. It's not, you know, my sister and I, we have different tastes in music, in food, in stuff. So just because I'm doing something that I like doesn't necessarily mean that she will like it to want to invest the time, you know, to do it. So, you know, you've got to then give people a reason to do it. But then you've got to then also be able to be heard amongst the noise. Because, you know, content creation is a very noisy place. If you go on Amazon, there are loads of videos, there are loads of movies, there are loads of, you know, books. So how do you then make your content be heard, you know, out, you know, over and above the content that's there already, right? And so that's why what if you speak to anyone who's, you know, already established, they will say to you, just as you're having the plan that you want to do this, then this is the time to start getting people to start knowing about it. Because if you wait till you've then got your content ready and then you're starting, then you're starting from zero. Whereas as you have a plan that you're creating the content, and even if it's only 1% of your time that you invest in letting people know about it, for instance, then by the time you finish and you create your content, you will see that you're not starting at zero in marketing. So maybe, for instance, let's say you have a blog, you have an email list, you've got Twitter, whatever it is, you know, you might say, oh, guess what, I'm actually considering doing this, right? And people retweet it. It's like, oh, I'm actually just working on doing this. And people are actually not, oh, okay, this person is doing something. So you might have, you know, one or two people who might actually be paying attention. Oh, actually, this person is, you know, is doing this. Alicia is doing this. AR is doing this. And by the time it's now completed, you might find that they're actually quite vested because they've been following your process from when you conceived the idea to when you get to, you know, the completion stage. They're like, oh, wow, okay, actually, I'm actually quite interested. Whereas if you started at the end, people then don't know, you've not built up any hype. And neither way is wrong. It's just, you know, sort of you weighing both options and saying, do I want to not say anything till I'm actually at completion and then start telling people about it? Or do I want to start telling people about it and potentially creating hype as I go along so that by the time the product is completed, then this is what's good. I mean, for me, I know that I personally do like hype. So, you know, for instance, the other day, I was on YouTube and then I saw an ad for Resident Evil. There's a new one coming out. And you don't even know how excited I am because I'm like, oh my God, I can't wait. But imagine if they didn't make any information, they didn't do anything about it. And then next thing we just know is like, oh, it's out now. And then you go and get it. Like on day zero, you're not going to get any sales because people didn't know about it. That's just where I was sort of trying to go. Whereas if you start doing it, or sometimes, you know, I see a trailer for a movie and it's like, oh, coming out next year. And I'm like, seriously, you've got to make me wait for 1 year? Like, seriously? Right. But then every time I see the trailers, I'm like, okay, well, next year isn't too far away. I'll wait. Next year isn't too far away. That sort of thing.
Right. So paid advertising is definitely a part of the plan, and doing more radio like this and, you know, podcasting and stuff is definitely a part of the plan. I probably will hire a publicist at some point. I'm just not there. I don't think it's feasible right now. But yeah, I really feel like, yes, that you're absolutely right. That everyone will tell you marketing is, you spend 3 times more money marketing than you do actually on whatever you're creating. But at the same time, they'll tell you, if you have no story, no one's going to watch it. So your story has to be good. And that's kind of where I'm at. I really, it's so
hard. Can I disagree with you there? Yeah,
you can. I was just saying, it's so hard to make 3 to 5 minutes. It's like, yeah, 3 to 5 minutes is hard. It's especially when it might be hard for me because I'm the writer and I know the whole story. So to try to compact it in 3 to 5 minutes, that's a skill within itself. And so that's kind of where I'm at right now, is making it to like webisodes.
Yes, no, that's fine. And you will do it. You know, sometimes it might be hard and we all, you know, have challenges, but I see that, you know, once you are vested in it and you are determined, you will do it, right? But it's not even about what you perceive to be the quality, right? Because take 50 Shades of Grey, for instance, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't read it, and I started watching the movie and I wasn't really interested in it. But people have said to me, people who have read it, people who have watched it, they've said to me that the review says the book was an absolutely horrible book. It had loads of errors, it had this and it had that wrong with it. But irrespective of how bad the book was, we know how it did.
Yeah, the trilogy sold like 95 million copies. Yeah.
You see where I'm going? So you as the content creator, it's not about you to determine whether it is good or bad, because there are people out there who will tell you that they like rubbish and they will admit it. Yes, it wasn't good, but I enjoyed it. There are people out there who will tell you they like cheesy stuff. Yes, it's cheesy, but I enjoyed it, right? And if you go to a bookseller, for instance, right, they stock books, right? Not because the owners or the sales attendants like all the books. They're doing it, they're putting the books there, not for their use, but for other people's use. And as the owners, there is no way the owners would know what a potential reader would like or not like. So it's not up to them to determine what would sell or not sell. So when something's available, they will just make it available, say, well, here it is, you can purchase it. If it doesn't do well, they will chuck that stock out and just not get more of it.
Right.
So as the content creator, it's not up to you to determine whether or not, because I think I read somewhere again that sometimes the reason why brick and mortar stores are not going to go out of fashion is because the sales attendant's job is to tell people that they need a book they didn't know that they needed, if that makes sense.
Right.
So the same thing goes that, you know, you might put your book out and you might think that, you know, because for me, a lot of people will tell you that you need to determine your audience, you need to do this, you need to, you know, have an avatar for your audience. See, for me, I am 1000% not a big advocate of that, right? So I will use books, for instance, right? Because I was at a virtual summit where I did a presentation, I gave this. There are three types of book buyers, in my opinion, right? There are book readers who are book buyers. There are book readers who are not book buyers, and there are book buyers that are not book readers.
Right.
Now, if you only target one, you're missing out on the other two. So if you're only targeting book buyers that are book readers, then you're going to miss out on the book readers who are not book buyers, and you're going to miss out on the book buyers who are not book readers.
Right.
So the same thing goes, if you're then saying, well, you're going to do your strategy and you're only going to focus on, I've not done, you know, a webinar series before, so I can't see what the, you know, but you would potentially, because again, see, for me, sometimes people say, oh yeah, but you can't, if you're writing a parenting book, you can't really target a community of plumbers, for instance. Well, why not? Plumbers have children. Plumbers have, you know, they know people who've got children. They've got nieces and nephews, or, you know, their colleagues have children. Like, so why not? So they might want to buy birthday presents, or they might, you know, why not? So that's just my perspective, you know, on, you know, how I look at things. So I try not to, and I've got, you know, for my books as well, I've had people who they take the connection that I have with them, they take a chance on my book because of me,
right,
rather than the book itself.
Right.
So sometimes you might, when you start building your platform and your connections, you might find that people will take a chance on your webinar, on your book, because of you.
And then when they take that chance, though, it has to be good. That's my point. When they do push play, it has to be good enough for them to keep watching.
Of course. Yeah. Of course, you've got to still make it the best you can. But again, that's a subjective thing, though, because it's kind of like someone said to me that if people wanted perfect grammar, then English, you know, professors should be millionaires by now. Do you get? Because they've got perfect grammar, you know, English professors, literature professors, you know, they've got perfect grammar, they've got perfect literature, so they could have written, you know, fiction, and it would be so perfect, and they should be millionaires by now, if that was what people wanted. So your idea of good, your idea of perfection, might not necessarily be the same as...
Not perfection. It just needs to be good. I don't believe in perfection. It just needs to be... There's certain even like... Because I love Netflix, okay? Like, I'm a Netflix junkie. And so Netflix has a lot of original content. And yeah. I'm not going to name any names. I'm not trying to put anybody out. But, I mean, it's on Netflix, so there's still, I guess I'm making money from it. I don't know. But there are certain shows where I've stopped watching within, like, the first 7 to 8 minutes because I'm like, either the dialogue wasn't good or I just wasn't feeling the acting or, you know what I'm saying? I didn't connect to it. I didn't like it, so I stopped watching it. And I'm like, that's going to happen either way, whether it's, it could be Steven Spielberg, people are going to stop watching it, or it could be independent, people are going to stop watching it. But I think still, as an artist, you still want your best work out. And I don't believe in perfection at all. But the story needs to be good. And I think when you're trying to combine 7 books into a TV show and you're trying to adapt it, there should be some type of scent or strategy or course or sense that makes, because what I do in season 1 has to carry over to season 2, has to carry over to season 3, has to carry, you know what I mean? So it's, yeah. And this is what I didn't do when I started writing, because I didn't know, I never wanted to be a writer. So when I start writing,
something here?
Go ahead.
Yeah, go on.
Sorry, I'm kind of quiet, so I have to ask permission in order
to
get in.
Just get into it.
So, you know, I think we could safely say, you know, from what you guys have gone back and forth on that to the degree that the content of the, whether it be the film, the short, or the book, or a book, to the degree that the content is good, that it is compelling, that it is meaningful, is the degree to which you can avoid the need for hype. Hype is definitely useful. I mean, it's great to have somebody talk about your book, or rather, it's great to, actually, that may not be correct. The need for hype may be off, but the need for pushing your own product. And what you really want, what we really want as authors, is we want somebody to watch our content, read our content, and go, oh my gosh.
Like word of mouth.
That was incredible. And go tell somebody else.
Yes, so that's the best advertising.
To the degree that your content is good content, that it is meaningful, that it reaches the person and it touches them in some way, what that does a ton of work for you that you don't have to do for yourself, that you don't have to go be on radio programs or go do this or that because everybody's talking about it. So
yes.
It's kind of the two go hand in hand. Yes, we have to go out and do that work and get the word out, but what we really want is for someone else to do that for us.
That's how The Shack blew up. I don't know if you guys have heard of The Shack by William P. Young, but that was self-published first, and it was literally word of mouth. He sold 1 million copies word of mouth, and that's how Hachette, you know, a traditional publisher in New York, came in, and that's when it blew up even more. But it was word of mouth, him selling 1 million copies by word of mouth, that got him the book deal that eventually he ended up selling. I think it was 9 million copies at the end of it. But you're right. I mean, I think you're right. Hype is important, but I think word of mouth is even more important because they trust people. I think they say that's the best marketing. When your best friend or your mom or someone you know says, oh my God, that is like the best thing ever, you're going to watch it just because they told you it was good. And so, but at the same time, you know, advertising and commercials, that's important too. So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. There's so much to do.
Well, you know, with that said, what I want everybody to do is to go out and talk about my book. How about that?
Right.
Hey, I listened to the Seggy Little Salami Show, and it was great. There was this great guy, and you know, and then I got his book, and it was so good.
Yes. Yeah.
No, that's perfect, actually. So please go and get it. What was your book again?
The Investment Perspective.
Yes, by Jonathan McCormick.
And go and get a copy. His name is J. A. McCormick. So if you type
it
on Amazon, that's what you should put. So.
Right, J. A. McCormick, The Investment Perspective. Go and get a copy, and then leave a review, and then you say you heard about it on the Shaggy Lala Salami Show. How's that, folks?
leave a review if you liked it.
Okay, leave a review if you liked it.
Just leave a review. That's all I care.
Perfect. Well, thank you very much, guys. The little human, she's napped off again. And all that talk of food at the beginning is making me a bit peckish now. So seriously, I don't know what it is, but recently I like kicking people out of this cafe. It is so much fun. I feel like Sir Alan Sugar. You're fired. Please get out. That just feels so much fun. So I'm going to kick you guys out now. You guys been here for a while.
Thanks for having us.
It's been my pleasure. You're fired. Get out. Sorry, I couldn't help that.
No soup for you. 1 year.
Sorry?
No soup for you.
No soup. I don't like soup.
That's a quote from an old... Oh, I think it was from Steinfeld or something. Anyway, thank you. Thanks again.
Oh, Alicia's gone. Oh, dear, maybe.
Yeah, she dropped off. Okay.
Oh, well, never mind. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure having you.
Yeah, thanks again.
Hello.
Oh, she's back.
Hi. Like, what happened?
I don't know. You dropped off. I was like, you didn't even say bye. I know I was kicking you guys out, but still, you could have said bye.
I know. No, it's my internet connection. I'm sorry.
Okay. That's fine. So now I can kick you out again. That's just so much fun.
All right. Thanks again.
Thank you. Bye now. Oh, okay. Actually, you know, I'll be good. If people want to connect with you, how do they get in touch?
Oh.
Okay. Well, for me, it's easy. LoveGodAndTattoos.com. And there's a contact page on there. But that's all my Facebook, Twitter, is all that there.
Okay. So LoveGodAndTattoos.com.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's fine. And Jonathan? Okay.
My website is jamccormick.net. It's .net and not .com. There is a place to sign up for my email list there, and that's the easiest way to know when it is that I finally finish my next book. I finally signed up for Twitter. I hate Facebook, and so I signed up for Twitter because...
Hate Facebook?
I do. I can't stand it. You pull it up, and all these people put all this stuff on there, and then it drags you in and sucks out your brain and stagger away. So I signed up for Twitter, and my intention is not to look at anything. I am not following anybody, but people can follow me so that I don't get dragged in for hours and look at stuff. But anyways...
Twitter is actually informative. You can actually follow people that matter. Everybody matters, but you can follow news sources. You know, Twitter's cool. I like Twitter.
And actually, from what I've seen, I kind of like Twitter, the format, a lot better. And right. So maybe I will follow some people. But point being is that, you know, there's not a lot on my Twitter yet, but I've signed up for Twitter, so you can follow me on Twitter. And that's a way, through that and through my email list, I'm going to try to keep contact with everybody and let you know if I'm going to be speaking or when my next book comes out, etc. So
what's your handle on Twitter? That's very important. Without it, people wouldn't know how to follow you.
Oh, see, I don't know. That is terrible because I just signed up. I decided when I became an author, I thought I am not going to do social media. I am just going to have an email list. And then I went on a few radio shows and they're like, you have to at least have a Twitter. And so I signed up for Twitter.
So what was the app you signed up?
McCormick, if you type in J.A. McCormick, what's that?
Okay, no, that's fine. So how do you spell your McCormick, right?
Oh, so it's kind of like the spices. It's M-C, capital C-O-R-M, as in Mary, I-C-K, McCormick.
Okay, so it's just J. So that's the same for your website then. J A M C C O R M I C K.
Yes.
.net. Net, not com.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Why would you do for .net?
Was it taken?
.net?
Yes.
You know, there was a guy in like Connecticut who had .com, and he had bought it for a blog for his daughter, and he hadn't done anything with it. I offered him some money to buy it from him, and he didn't sound interested. And I wanted it just to be J.A. McCormick. And so I've kind of thought, I have his email. I'm going to keep in contact with him, and maybe I'll offer him more money in time to get it. But that was the name that I wanted, so.
Okay, fair enough.
And he's not doing anything with it, so I figure if anybody, you know, Googles J.A. McCormick, you know, for now at least, they should get to my website, so.
Ah, right, okay. Just a random thing. I know I've been trying to kick you guys out, right? But then you've just said something which just makes me, it's just amazing. No, either of you have a blog.
I had a blog. I had a podcast. I had a YouTube channel on that.
All past tense.
Yeah.
So you do not have all one, no? You do not have
no,
one?
No, no. No, right. Because of the writing. Okay. Writing, yeah, so.
Jonathan, yeah. What about you?
For me, you know, I do not blog, and I do it kind of intentionally. For me, writing is a really serious thing. It's like if I sit down to write something, it's, you know, even though my book is very short, I put a lot into it. I condense down. And so for me, blogging I struggle with because, you know, it's you expect it to put out content, you know, every so often. And I just take so seriously whatever I write. That I would spend hours and hours and hours on my blog and never write any more books. And so I don't blog on purpose. And you asked, oh, about a YouTube channel. I do intend, I've intended to start, I will be having a YouTube channel. I'm considering actually putting the entire book up on YouTube. There'll be at least be a portion of it. Just with me reading it. And I write poetry also, and so I'm going to be putting my poetry up on YouTube. And, you know, the main thing I would say at this point, you know, it's like I'm new enough at this. If you've liked anything I said today, the people listening, just go and sign up for my email list or follow me on Twitter, and I will let you know when the YouTube channel comes around and as other things come around, so.
Okay, so you're getting a YouTube channel coming up. Okay, that's good. So you can then merge your YouTube channel with your blog and then get it out there. Perfect. Okay, right. So Mr. Hat, are we going to have? Are we going to change that from hat to have? I sound like a school teacher now. Sorry. Are we going to have a blog or are we going to have a YouTube? I know you've got your webinar that you're planning, but in the meantime, are you not going to do anything like that?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. My internet's going crazy. So I was podcasting every week and I was YouTubing every week. And so right now starting the TV show, it's becoming, because I'm finishing the last book in the series. With writing the last book in the series and writing the TV show, I don't have the time to blog or YouTube or podcast. But maybe once it's kind of up and running, I might do something on YouTube. Video for sure. Actually, I know I'm something on YouTube for sure. That handle is Love Got Tattoos. Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Love Got Tattoos. So probably latter this year, maybe in the fall or winter, I'll have some time to start videoing again. And it's gonna be more because I was going back and forth. I mean, this is a ministry, so I was going back and forth to like kind of teaching. Or doing like the three to five minute shows for the TV show. So I don't know. I'm kind of going back and forth. Do I have two YouTube channels? You know, because one with me teaching and then one with the show and all that. I'm not quite sure I was going to figure it out. But as of right now, it's Love God and Tattoos.
Okay, perfect. Well, thank you very much. And then we're going to go through the whole kicking out again.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
This has been awesome. Thank you so much.
It's been my pleasure. Oh, yeah, so you didn't get your drinks now, did you? Lee Human's still asleep. Sorry.
But it's okay. It's okay because when I come to London, I'm going to email you. We're going to go out. We're going to really get drinks. I'm serious.
Okay, that's fine. And I'm going to have to Google sweet potato pancakes now because I've not heard of that one before.
Yes.
Okay, right. So it's been a pleasure, and hopefully we'll see you guys again soon.
Okay,
yes, thank have you.
Okay, day. All right, bye now.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.